The greatest story ever told begins in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the greatest story that certainly any of us will ever hear. And it's the greatest story that has ever been told. The story of complete perfection. It's really hard to imagine, but a perfect place called paradise. Everything about it is perfect. There's nothing wrong or out of place. There's nothing negative. There's nothing bad. Man and woman are there in all purity and innocence. Everything is good. They don't know anything that is bad. But what makes paradise so special is that God is there. Can you imagine walking and talking with God? They were doing it here on earth. And God says, all of this is for you. Everything is for you. Just one exception. Just this tree of knowledge and good and evil. You're not to eat of it. But everything else is for you. Well, you know the story. The serpent deceived Eve and she took of it and she ate. She gave it to her husband and he ate. Their eyes were opened and they realized shame coming upon them. They had sinned. And you know what the worst thing was for them? God leaving and going back to heaven. He could not stay and be in the presence of sin. And thus comes religion. For that is the very definition of religion. It's a Latin word we have, the word religion. It comes from a word called religare, something like that. But the prefix re means back, and ligare means to bind. Back to bind. Binding sinful man back to God. They had sinned in the garden and now God's not there. They've got to find a way how to get back to God. And so here we are all these many years later and look down the street. How many religions we have. How many churches there are. And we as mankind don't get it. We are trying ourselves to get back to God and we cannot do it. But God had a plan. And the only way to get back to God is through His plan, not ours. And if you come up with your own religion, it's not God's. And I dare say you will not get back into a right relationship with Him. Because it's only through His plan. And that plan is called the gospel. And it's a very simple plan to understand. But this is the plan that brings you back into a right relationship with God. It's called the plan of salvation because that's what it does. And so I love going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where the Apostle Paul makes it very clear here to the Corinthian brethren about this gospel. And so in verse 1 he goes on to tell them, he says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now I think this is interesting. He says, I make known to you this, brethren, this gospel, which I preached to you. When was that? It was back in Acts chapter 18 where we see he's going there to Corinth. And I think this is when the first time he went there and he started working with these people. And they start this church there at Corinth. And he says, I preached to you at that time the gospel. You believed it and you stood for it and you stand because you know that gospel is what saves you. And then he goes on in verse 3. And he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. He says, I delivered this to you. It wasn't something that came from me, because I received it and I passed it on to you. But how important was this, Paul? He says, the very first thing I did when I came to you, I preached to you the gospel. And here we are now, all these years later, and I'm having to write to you in a letter because you're getting off track here. The Corinthians, poor people, they had so many issues and problems. And he says, you got to get back to your foundation. You got to get back to the gospel. Because that's what gets you in the right relationship with Jesus. You got to be reminded of this. And what is that gospel, Paul? He says it is three things. He says Christ died, He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day. That is the gospel. And he says, this is what saves you, this gospel. This is what brings you into that right relationship with God. Now, what I want to share with you, and I appreciate your attention, a few verses here about this gospel. And I want you to see and understand what happens when people hear this story of His death and His burial and resurrection. Just briefly, going to Acts chapter 2, there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the rest of the apostles there, they're preaching this gospel. And they ask, what is it that we need to do to be saved? And Peter says to them, repent and be each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now drop down to verse 41. And he says, so then, those who had received His word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Brothers and sisters, when they heard the gospel, when did they obey it? That day. In Acts chapter 8. Here we're looking at Simon. He's a sorcerer. And there's here in the city of Samaria, and these Samaritans are there. It says after he's preaching, it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. When was it? When was it that they were baptized? It says when they heard the preaching of Philip. Right then. You move on to Acts chapter 8, down a little bit further. And here we have Philip. He's having a really busy time right now. He's called to go to this guy, this eunuch. And so he sees the eunuch up in his chariot, and he's reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. And he walks up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I unless I have someone guide me? So he gets up into the chariot, and what does he start preaching to him? Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was Isaiah chapter 53. That's right, because that's what it's about. It's about Jesus. And notice what happens after hearing about Jesus. And they went along the road. They came to water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, when did this happen? After he heard Philip preaching. And notice what happened then in verse 38. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. The eunuch immediately responded to the gospel after hearing it and understanding it. Now, Acts chapter 9. Here we have the account of Paul, who at this time is called Saul. And here he's on the road, and Jesus comes, and he's blinded by this light. And Jesus talks to him. And it says in verse 18 of chapter 9, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And so we move on to chapter 22, where now some years have passed, and Paul is recounting what took place, and Ananias was the guy who baptized him. And he says, this is what Ananias told me. He says, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When did he do it? Right then when Ananias told him to do it. You move to Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. Peter, the very first thing when the Gentiles, and I love this passage, after they had the Holy Spirit come on them, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You move to Acts chapter 16. In verse 14, Paul's going to this city called Thyatira, and they go to the river there. He hears this prayer meeting going on down there, and there's a bunch of women there. And verse 14 says, and a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urges, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. When was it that Lydia and her family obeyed the gospel? It was right after they had heard what the Apostle Paul said, and it was the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 15, you move on, Paul stays very busy. He hangs around there in this same city, he and Silas. And there's this girl, she's demon-possessed, but this demon was very good at prophecy, and so people made money off of her, but that demon knew who these two guys were. And that demon said of these two men, he said, these men are from God, and they speak the way of salvation. Well, the girl slash demon kept following him day after day, and Paul got a little irritated, so he removed the demon from the girl, and the people got mad, and so they take Paul and Silas and they begin to beat them. And then they're thrown into prison and they're put in chains and their feet are locked in stocks. But an earthquake occurs. Their chains fall off, the prison doors open. It wakes the prisoner guard up, and he comes in and he sees that the doors are open, so he assumes they're gone. He draws his sword to kill himself, and they say, no, stop, don't hurt yourself, we're here. And he says, what do I need to do to be saved? Let me stop you just real quick here. Did you ever wonder about that? You are wrongfully beaten for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're beaten, you're thrown into prison, you have these chains. And then in the middle of the night, your chains just fall off. The doors open up. Obviously a miracle from God. He's literally opening doors, and they stayed. They didn't run away. It's like, if you ever needed a sign from God, here it is. And they stayed. Why did they stay? Look what happened. They said to the jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and his household. When were they baptized? That very same hour of the night. Immediately. Immediately it took place. And then you move to Acts chapter 18. Here we have the story of Crispus and the Corinthians that are gathered there. He's a leader of the synagogue. And it says he believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard believing, were believing and being baptized. When was it that they were being baptized? It says, when they heard. You move on to Acts chapter 18, or rather, excuse me, when they heard this, they were being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They did it when they heard it. Brothers and sisters, one cannot look at this gospel message and all these stories and not walk away with the fact that hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ was urgent. Everybody who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have in these passages, they responded immediately. Now, let me ask you a question, but don't need to raise your hand. This pulpit's in the way. How many of you never heard what I just preached? I imagine just about every single person in here has heard everything before what I just said. You've read these passages before, and rightfully so, and that's a good thing. But I want you and I to realize, brothers and sisters, the urgency of the gospel. I was asked to come and speak as the rest of the men upon, you know, if Paul were to come, what's the message he would want? What is the message he would want to tell us if he could come here? And my mind kept going back to Corinthians because the very first thing he went there and he spoke to them was the gospel. And then when he had the opportunity then later on to write them, what was it that he wrote to them about? A lot of their problems, we know that, 1 and 2 Corinthians. But there in the middle of it, in chapter 15, he says, brothers and sisters, you got to get back to the gospel. It is the foundation of your very living. If you live by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to be rid of all these other problems you've got. You're going to get back into the right relationship with God because that's what the gospel does. And tonight, I want to plead with anyone who is here who is not a Christian to become one right now, tonight. If you need to raise your hand, I'll come where you are. But you need to obey the gospel tonight. And my plea is that you don't put it off. In an audience this large, there's got to be somebody here who believes in Jesus, who believes in God. They've heard the plan of salvation. They believe hell is real. You also believe heaven is real. And we have that relationship where we can go and live with Him forever in eternity, along with all our other saints and family. But you've put off the gospel. And so I want to plead with you tonight not to do that anymore, but to make right now your stand for the gospel. The gospel invitation is given. The song is sung, so we all stand. But you stand and sing the gospel invitation song, but you don't obey it. I know what that's like. It's hard. I remember so well the guilt that I had trying to sing the invitation song looking like I'm all good and a smile on my face when it was eating me up inside. Because I know I needed Jesus. I needed that right relationship. Let me tell you something. When I graduated eighth grade, I walked along with a really great burden on my shoulder. I felt so guilty. Because all those kids that I spent all those 8 years with, I never talked to them about Jesus. I felt so guilty. And then I went to high school. And because of that guilt, my inner circle of friends became smaller and smaller. Because I didn't talk to them about Jesus. And I thought, how can I do that? I'll be a hypocrite. How can I talk to my friends about Jesus when I myself have not obeyed the gospel? I know what that guilt is like. But I also know what the joy of obeying the gospel brings. When I was baptized, that guilt was lifted off my shoulders. The joy was overwhelming. And then I'll tell you what I got to share, a great experience, and many of you know this, is that when you then sit down and study with somebody else and they obey the gospel, you share that joy all over again. And it grows. And my love for Jesus has grown year after year after year, and it's greater and greater. And that's because of the power of the gospel. You need to obey the gospel tonight. You need to do it right now. You don't need to wait. And let me tell you something else. You may have a reason why you've not obeyed the gospel. We all do when we know we should, but we don't. Ask yourself very clearly in your mind, what is it that's keeping me from being baptized? What is it that's stopping me from doing that? And I want to tell you something, that whatever your answer is, it is not as strong as the need for you to obey the gospel. You don't know about tomorrow. None of us do. The thought of being able to put your head on the pillow tonight, if you'll be able to sleep, because you will be so happy. The joy will overfill you because your sins will be lifted away. You will now be in a good relationship with God. And this is where your life begins. And your education really starts tonight. It grows. Years ago, the young people, we did a lot, had lots of devotions, us teenagers and Bible studies and singing for the old folks. And we just had a great time. And there was a lot of us. But we were at McDonald's one night, and I remember vividly sitting there, the four of us in a booth, and Dewey comes over and he walks up to me and he gets down on one knee and his arm on the table and he looks me in the eye and he says, "Kirk, what should I do?" I knew exactly what he was asking. Dewey was a great kid, high school, lived at home with his mom and dad. He had been to all the Bible studies and the singings and just wonderful. Everybody loved him. He loved everybody. And he knew he wanted to become a Christian. He knew that's what he needed to do. But he had a problem. His parents told him that if he became a Christian, they would kick him out of the house because they were not believers. So when he asked me that question, I simply looked at him and smiled. And I remember these words. I said, "You know the right thing to do." Continued eating my Big Mac. But that's what I told him. So we did baptize Dewey just a short time after that. And his parents, they kicked him out of the house. They kept their promise. The last I heard, Dewey, he's a faithful member of the Lord's body, he and his wife, and along with their kids. And I'd love to go and ask him, "Dewey, you remember all those years ago when your parents kicked you out of the house? Are you sorry you made that decision? Do you have regrets of becoming a Christian?" I can just see the smile on his face. Are you kidding me? I know he would tell anybody, don't let something like that stop you. Because when you put Jesus on and baptize him, you put Jesus on. You clothe yourself in him. He is there to protect you. He is there to bless you. He is there to guide you. Not to mention these 200 people right here. You will be taken care of. That's God's promise. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. You will be taken care of. There is nothing that should stop you from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ right now. You need to do this. Don't put it off any longer. What can I say? I so much wish I was like Peter and Ananias and say, and point to you and call you out by name and command you to be baptized. They could do that. I can't. What can I say to encourage you to become a Christian? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And you'll be in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father, both here on this earth and in the life to come. Will you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Please do that at this time. Come forward now while together we stand and sing.